Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid sponsored by Gaper.io. Today we have Faisal Khan. Faisal is a product manager at Visible Alpha and he comes with an extensive experience of working in the fintech AI. Faisal, welcome to the show.
Hey Mustafa, thanks for having me.
So give us a brief background about yourself, what you've been up to before Visible Alpha.
Yeah, for sure. I started my career in management consulting. So I worked at Booz, StrategyN, which is now part of PwC, and did that for a few years. Had a lot of clients in the financial services industry, actually. I always had a passion for finance, so it was very interesting. Learned a lot about how big an industry it was. Also wanted to do something more impactful other than making slides until 2 a.m. every day. So after my MBA, I was really keen on working in startups. So for the last 4 years, I've been at a couple different tech startups, three of them at Consensus, which was the biggest blockchain company in the world for a long time. And we were working on a lot of use cases, trying to implement blockchain in enterprises, in retail, payment use cases, crowdfunding use cases, all kinds of stuff. And then found my way to where I am now, Visible Alpha, working on products, especially our products around kind of investment analysis. So trying to understand the fundamentals behind a company. Is it growing? Is it kind of increasing its profitability? We're backed by Goldman Sachs, so we have a lot of access to very useful data. And so it's a lot of fun. It's really interesting. When I started my career, a little more than 10 years ago, fintech really meant like lending and crowdfunding and things like that. But nowadays, there's a lot of apps in the investing space. You know, you take the train and people are checking Robinhood. So it's really cool. Cool to see that kind of growth and expansion.
Nice. And just making it much more relevant towards the conversation towards COVID, right? So banks and the insurance and other institutions, they've kind of been reluctant, or that's the perception you get, they've kind of been reluctant when it comes down to working remotely and those kind of stuff, and even exposing their APIs. You know, if you have 5 years, you know, getting access to an API required your one having a law degree yourself. You need to go through all the. So, do you think the mindset has evolved just because of COVID, or has it been evolving prior to that? And how do you, then we'll go towards blockchain?
I mean, so my experience with banks. And honestly, very large corporations in general, but banks, is especially because they're so heavily regulated, they don't change unless they have to. And so I think the pandemic has been a great example for that. What was funny enough, when I was at Consensus, we were a remote first company, so maybe a little ahead of the curve there. And we were, you know, it takes a little getting used to, but we found incredibly productive. And a big part of it was just the difficulty in finding engineering talent that knew about blockchain and understood what it was. And so we really had to go, we literally had engineers in the jungles of Nicaragua, because we had to go anywhere we could find people who had these skill sets. You know, trying to hire 1,000 engineers is hard enough. And if you want to hire 1,000 who knew about blockchain, it was incredibly challenging. So I think it's great that, you know, in general, people are more opening up to remote work. I think the banks, like I was saying, they're being forced to now, and I imagine it'll still be pretty slow. There's still a lot of concern about information leakage, or, you know, gathering, like, making sure people are compliant with all the rules and things like that. But we're definitely not going to go back to where we were. And it's funny because on one hand, yeah, they're very averse to, to having remote workers. At the same time, most banks have massive teams in India. And so they've been doing remote work for a long time, but for some reason it was just compartmentalized. It was kind of small.
But do you think, in your opinion, in regards to with the adaptability towards remote work, the use cases for the blockchain are going to increase significantly then?
The blockchain, so the reason I left the blockchain space was partly related to what I was saying. So much of finance is so heavily regulated.
Yeah.
If you want to raise funds, you know, you have to comply. You either everyone has to be accredited, which means they have over $1 million in assets, or you have to register with the SEC, which could take, you know, very long time. And so to me, it was very clear this was not like a 1 or 2 year story. It was like a 5 or 10 year story. So we'll see how that happens. But it is interesting watching the space evolve. I would compare it to kind of like dial-up internet in the 90s. Like, it took a long time for the internet to kind of be fully fleshed out, but once it was, it really did achieve a lot.
Got it. Interesting. So in regards to, and how do you see the fintech space, the one, so can you tell us a bit more about the current work that you're doing, then we'll build up a conversation more.
Sorry, I couldn't hear the last word. What about the fintech space?
So can you tell us a bit about what you're doing at Alpha right now? So what is the product doing and how is it evolving?
Right. So we basically process data from investment brokers. So Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, all the large investment brokers, they put out a lot of investment research on every company that you've heard of and a lot that you haven't heard of. So what we do is we take all of their research, we pull in all the numbers, and we basically essentially turn it into a database and then provide that access to investors. So it's really useful for them because whereas from Bloomberg and FactSet, which are, you can call them almost like the original fintechs because they are really the first financial technology, what you can get is kind of the standard information, like revenue, net income, the stuff that the SEC requires that every company disclose. But we can get to much more granular level of detail. You know, whether that's how many cars might come off the lot at Tesla next year, or you know, how many iPhones does the Wall Street thing Apple's gonna sell. So it's pretty detailed information, and it's hugely useful to a huge number of people.
All right. So, you know, I was going through your profile and it said, you know, I really like the punchline. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a sci-fi novel. Now I work on strategy for tech companies. I guess it's the closest I could get.
Yeah.
Why limit yourself? So it just,
I mean, yeah, maybe I'll go back to sci-fi, but I think what Visible Alpha, the closest it gets is because I'm working on, it's a data product, right? Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a lot of that. More SaaS products that are oriented towards data, and then you mentioned APIs and making that data accessible to other platforms. And so what I really enjoy about my work is getting to work on kind of advanced data problems, whether it's machine learning or data science related stuff. That's the part where it starts to feel like sci-fi, yeah. But it's still a little bit short.
Yeah, early for that. So in the last couple of years, you know, we've seen multiple banks or corporate cards sprang up, right? In the end of Q4, everyone was actually coming up with their own corporate card, you know, and becoming fintech, because
whatever
you look at, you know, whether they were into expense reporting or whether they were into bookkeeping, and everyone was just coming up with the lending corporate cards, right? So I just started having these discussions with a few friends of mine. How far are we? So get the thought out, then I just want your opinion on it. So maybe we're reaching a point that, you know, because based on the data, every generation is becoming much more poor every year, right? So generationally, because the boomers had more money, the probability of owning a house, cars, probably the world is transitioning towards a universal basic income is what Sam are talking about, right? So, but our digital identities are becoming more and more valuable, I believe, day by day because of the fake news and everything coming up.
Yeah, authentication.
So do you think maybe in the next 2-3 years forward, you know, there'll be a fintech startup that will be putting a value on Faisal Khan's or Mustafa's LinkedIn profile and Facebook and Twitter and that, and be like, you surrender as an arbitrage, you surrender all your login IDs to us. And against that, you can get a loan. And because I believe we're already at a point, if you don't pay the down payment on your Tesla, the next day car can go back to the showroom, you know,
like automated, drive itself back to the dealership.
So we're already there yet. The car, just because of down payment, not the car can go. So do you think the world will transition towards that?
That's a good question.
Yeah, we're putting you on the spotlight. Record it.
Yeah, you're asking me about sci-fi scenarios. I'm sure someone will try, but ultimately what I've found is that people are kind of lazy and they're just going to, they're going to adopt the technology that's the easiest for them to use. If there's a way, you know, even if there's a way to make money off your profile or your information, you'd be surprised. I would bet people would be kind of too lazy to go about it. And they're much more likely to keep going for free products like Facebook and LinkedIn and all that kind of stuff.
You know, okay. So it's a maybe. So it's neither a yes or a no, it's a maybe answer.
We'll see. I mean, I'm very cynical about the future of digital identity because a lot of it hinges on the legal ramifications and privacy laws. And if you ever watch a U.S. Senate hearing, you know, these are people who aren't, you can barely use an iPhone. So I don't have a lot of faith in their ability to write regulation that makes sense or can fit all the possibilities that software can do today.
And just as a moonshot, what would be in the fintech space, do you think, what would be the next moonshot project or a disruptor, a real disruptor, not just because they're into finance and they build some tech around it, just like moonshot. What?
That's a great question. I think there are a lot of different apps that you can use, whether it's the app for, you know, your Bank of America. There's Mint, which is like a great personal finance app. There's Robinhood for, you know, investing, but there's no like one-stop shop that can like manage your financial life. You know, I would love an app that tells me, that just looks at, you know, my incoming salary and how much, where I live, and just tells me you should be saving this much every month and basically did it for me. And maybe that is how I'll sell my data and bill. Make use of it somehow. I don't know.
We'll see.
But I think a lot of companies would like to do that. We'll see who actually is able to do it.
Yeah, true. Faisal, thank you so much for being on the show. But my marketing team tells me I need to keep it within 12 to 30 minutes. So
yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
Take care of yourself and stay safe.
Have a good one.